interview with Robert Shaw, Chairman, Republican Party of Georgia, April 24th, 1974.
I just won't answer it anymore.
The book will be published in the spring of 1976.
Okay.
Basically, Mr. Shaw, how did you get involved in the Republican Party?
How did I?
Right.
When I went into the life insurance business in the middle of 1955, I became keenly aware of government involvement in people's lives and in business itself. And the more that that I noticed that government was involved, the more I became interested, and the more I felt that somebody should be doing something about it. And I became interested from that aspect. And then I decided that I wanted to get involved. The reason that I got started with the Republican Party was that I felt that of the two parties, that they followed my philosophy more, in that they gave more attention to the individual himself. And my basic philosophy is that every person should do everything within his power to do as much for himself as he possibly can, and that government's place is to remove the roadblocks from a man's path that will keep him from going as far as his own initiative will take him. I feel that the individual should always be given consideration, and I can't buy a philosophy that says that, well, this is good for the group, so therefore it's got to be good for you. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the way this country was made. And to me, the Democrats seem to be the group that was following this group philosophy. And so for that reason, I wanted to become involved in the party. And in 1960, when Nixon was running, I tried to get into the organized Republican Party, but there didn't seem to be one that was that large in this county, and I kept going to every place that I could find that had a Republican storefront operation, and I'd tell them that I wanted to be a Republican, and they'd give me books and bumper stickers and literature, and say they'd call me. So I ended up with a house full of literature and bumper stickers, but nobody called. So I started just on my own organizing my precinct and trying to get the vote out there for Nixon, and was successful in doing it. And then in 61, one of the fellows that was on the city council, one of the first Republicans on the city council, Rodney Cook, was talking with me and invited me to some of the meetings, and I got active in the party at that time.
How has the party changed since that time, since 1960?
At that time, it was a very small group of people. It had been, I would say, in the metropolitan area, you had most of your strength and most of your money. It was controlled, I would say, by the upper class, the money people. And up until that time, the blacks had been in the Republican Party also. I guess this was about the time when you could hold a convention and put everybody in a telephone booth. Since that time, I'd say that when the Goldwater movement came along in 64, we saw a massive reorganization, or say a massive organization over the state that was put together by the Goldwater forces in Georgia. And they organized so well that when they took the convention in 64, we begun to find grassroots organizations all over the state. And from that movement, we've been able to grow because we had contacts that we'd never had before. Now, many people who got involved in that particular movement were not dyed-in-the-wool Republicans. They didn't necessarily stay with the Republican Party. So our growth has been rather swift, but yet it has not been such that we are full-grown enough to be able to win a statewide election. Where we had so few representatives in the state legislature, you count them on one hand. In 64, we elected a good number. Since that time, we've continued to add to it. In 72, for instance, we won 115 new county seats that we had not controlled before. We've got 8 out of 56 senators, 29 out of 180 representatives. But we have made great inroads, for instance, in DeKalb County, which is over in Decatur and considered part of metropolitan Atlanta. We have practically all elected Republicans. We've got some counties in North Georgia where this is true. We've made great inroads in the Savannah area. They elected either 9 or 12 new people on the county level there in 72. We've got one South Georgia county where we never had any real Republicans before, and there was a special election there for county commissioner, and he's the only one. He's the county government, and we won there. In another South Georgia county, they have 3 county commissioners. We'd never had an elected official elected there. In 72, we elected one Republican. Since I've been chairman, we've made a concerted effort to start at the bottom as opposed to going to the top. And this has been one of the problems with the party in the early days. They were always trying to get a top candidate, hopeful that he would attract the candidates at the lower level. But it's been my contention that if you build from the bottom up, then the top will take care of itself. So we put real emphasis on recruiting candidates at the grassroots level. And Georgia has 159 counties. We have never carried a statewide race because, just for example, in 72, when Fletcher Thompson was running for the U.S. Senate, Fletcher got 46% of the vote, and he carried only 27 counties. We feel that we've got to be able to carry 50 counties in order to win a statewide race. Now, the Democrats in the past, when this was a one-party state, played courthouse politics. One faction would go into the courthouse crowd, sell them on the idea of giving support to this particular candidate in return for these favors if they were elected, and the courthouse crowd made sure that the votes turned out for that particular man. Well, they do that with us now, and we find that in so many instances the courthouse crowd itself will control what goes on in that county, and if we don't have any real input, we've got no way of fighting back. Just an example, in 1970, our gubernatorial candidate was Hal Suit. Hal was born up north, Ohio, I guess, and they lived there until he was 11 years of age, and then they moved to North Georgia, and he was actually raised in North Georgia. But when the race between he and Carter came up in the general election, we'd find that the courthouse crowds would be putting the word out in South Georgia, you don't want no Yankee to be your governor, do you? Well, this guy's from up north. On the other hand, if we'd had some type of an organization going in those counties, if we had known what they were saying and it could have come back and countered it with the fact that Hal's mother was a Church of God preacher, that would have offset a lot of what the courthouse crowd was doing. But the more we can penetrate each of the courthouses in the 159 counties, the better chance we have of holding our own and building a substantial organization so that we can carry the 50 counties that we feel that we'll need. Since we usually do our most vote getting in the urban areas.
When did you start this building from the bottom process? Because didn't Bo Calloway in 66 follow the thesis that if you won at the top, it would help you all the way down? When did you
possibly? I became the first vice chairman of the party in 70, and became involved in the candidate recruitment at that time. I became the state chairman in March of 71. So I had started some of that in 70, but then when the 72 elections came on, I made it the number one project.
Was candidate recruitment getting easier or more difficult?
It's really no more difficult now than ever before. You just have to find a fellow that's willing to sacrifice to be the candidate. We don't have enough people who are willing to sacrifice their own business lives and social lives to actually run for office. Then in some of the counties where we're trying to grow, it's difficult to convince a man that if he runs as a Republican, he could really win. Now, where we've made some inroads in the Fulton County area, in DeKalb County, and Fannin and Gilmer County, over in Muskogee County and Chatham County, Richmond County, Bibb County, places like this, we have no problem getting candidates because they see others around them winning and they realize that they too could win. The most difficult place, of course, to do candidate recruitment is out in those areas where we're trying to target and trying to convince an individual that with our help, that he can be elected. So many of them feel that they don't have any real strength. They don't have the local know-how. And we're trying to convince them that if they are willing to put out the effort, that through the state party we can furnish them the training for themselves and their staffs and give them the help that they need to win. And of course, money always enters into it. Some individuals that you talk to about running for office think that it costs a fortune, because right off of the top of his head, he feels like he's got to be on TV and newspaper and all of these expensive forms of advertising, which actually is wasted, because usually he's running from a small district, maybe for the House of Representatives. And the people he's hitting are many times the people in other districts that won't even have an opportunity to vote for him. And when we show him how logical it is to use his money and his people in just contacting the people in the district from which he's running, then he sees that it's not as costly a matter as he thought it was.
What kind of services does the state headquarters, the state party, provide candidates?
First of all, we give no financial support at all. We just don't have that kind of money. We try to build a good file on statistics. We try to know the number of registered voters, the makeup of the people in the county by black, white, other groups, the income, how they turn out to vote, who they've supported in the past, the history for a long period of time, the industries that are there, the issues that may have been that may have involved that group over several years, what primarily they may be interested in as a candidate. We try to furnish them with the names of everybody that's ever been a Republican, not only just the present party elected officials, but anyone who's ever run for office before, who has ever voted in our primary, given money to us, and so forth. Then we run schools not only for party people, but we run them for the candidates and for their own workers. We try to assist them in any way we can with ways of raising money. Any type of support we can give, that's what we try to do, is be a support arm from the state headquarters.
What percentage of the party expenses just to run the state headquarters comes from the state? As I understand it, in Georgia, the party gets a percentage of filing fees.
When a person qualifies to run for the U.S. Senate, for Congress, for governor or any statewide office, for the Georgia House and the Georgia Senate, he qualifies with the state party. The legislature determines the fees that will be charged for qualification, and when the qualifications have ended, we turn over the certified papers on each individual that is qualified, and we turn over 75% of the qualification fee. The party keeps 25%. If the individual is going to run for an office within his county, such as county commissioner, ordinary, sheriff, any courthouse job, then he qualifies with the county party. Then the county party turns over 75% of their money to the county government, and they keep 25%. So the state party itself gets 25% on those races that deal with the state government and the national government. That's true for both parties.
And roughly what percentage of the expenses of the party come from that?
I'd hate to venture a guess. I've forgotten how many candidates we had running in 72. I've forgotten how much we kept. Our expenses at the state level are running approximately $7,500 a month. For some reason or other, it seems to me that I keep thinking back to the days of the Fulton County Party and the state party, and I can't recall how much, but it's but that is not our percentage of the filing fees pays a small amount of our expenses, more so than it would with the Democrat Party, because they've got so many candidates running with them. They have so many contested primaries that you'll find that, for instance, there must be 12 or 13 guys that's already announced they're running for lieutenant governor, and 9 or 10 running for governor. Well, we've got 3 guys that say they're going to run for governor, and only 1 man running for lieutenant governor. We may have 1 man that may drop into each one of those races that has not already made any public statement. We won't have all of the congressional races covered. If we do, it'll only be 1 man running. Democrats will have, in many instances, three or four running for Congress. They have so many candidates running for every job that their take is tremendous, and they pay a large portion of their expenses from that. But in the Republican Party, for instance, we're still such a small, close-knit group that if you're thinking about securing a candidate to run for the House of Representatives in this district, one fellow speaks up and says, "I think I'll run." Well, another guy may be interested, but he finds it difficult to say, "Well, old John's my buddy, and I think I could do a better job than he could, but if he wants to run for it, I'll just back out and let him run." So we have very few contested races, and I've been trying to insist that more people get involved and give the people a chance, and that's what will make people vote in our primary. The voter doesn't register by party in Georgia. He goes to the polls, and they find out he's a registered voter. They say, "Which ballot do you want?" Because the primaries are held on the same day at the same location. And you can tell them that you want a Democrat ballot this year. Next time the race comes up, you can take a Republican ballot. And usually they want to vote in the Democrat primary because every office is covered there. But in a county, say even like Fulton County, there will be seven candidates for the county commission, seven seats for county commission. We'll be lucky to have four candidates running, none of them contested. They'll have contests, they'll have three to five people practically running for every seat. Many of the judgeships, we won't have any of our guys that will run for judge. One of their feelings is that we probably would have a difficult time carrying Fulton County on a countywide basis because the blacks just vote against us. They voted a straight ticket practically. So you're giving away so many votes to begin with. Also, they realize that they've got to go before these fellas in court. So consequently, if they step out and try to venture into it and win, they may antagonize the very guys that they're going to have to go before. So we have so few people running, and the Democrats have so many running that people feel that they're not getting their money's worth unless they vote in that primary. Hello?
When do you think it'll be possible to have elected enough local officials so you can control 50 counties and thereby elect a statewide official?
78. We're trying again this year to increase our number of elected officials on the local level. And then we hope to increase that again in 76. And then by 78, we should have the people that we need working over the state to give the support needed to elect a statewide candidate.
Are you basically working to attract conservative, disenchanted Democrats?
I don't really call them Democrats. Georgia has always been a one-party state. Yet, the Georgia Democrat has always, or not always, but for the last 15, 20 years or so, has disassociated themselves from the national party. So much so that people just accept the theory that there is a difference, a total difference between the state party and the national party. When the Republicans came on the scene with Goldwater, that was the first time that since Reconstruction that Georgia had ever voted Republican. And It's funny, Georgia went for Kennedy in 60, went for Goldwater in 64, for Wallace in 68, and then Nixon in 72. But now that there has been a birth of the Republican Party, most people, I think, even though they may tell you they vote in the Democrat primary and so forth, most people in Georgia are independents. They'll usually, if you say how you going to vote, they'll say, who's running? They don't just up and say, well, I'm voting Democrat. It's my feeling that people have not seen enough difference between the two parties themselves to say that they'll cast their lot totally with one party or the other. And I think probably for maybe even the next 10 years, it's going to be the job of the parties themselves to convince the people that there is this difference between the parties and eventually start attracting some people. I think we've done a good job in that, as evidenced by the fact that, even in 66, Callaway got more votes than Maddox did, but he didn't get the majority, so the way our state law read at the time, the state legislature made the selection. And Carl Sanders worked the legislature and had him give the votes to Maddox. We were able in the Senate race in 72 with Thompson running against Nunn to get 46% of the vote. Yet all of those people that voted for Thompson would not claim to be members of the Republican Party.
But so, kind of ideologically, would they be conservative on race and economic matters and so on?
I would say that probably more people may be attracted to the Republican Party as conservative. We have... I don't think we have many people who could be classified liberals. They're the minority. Ultra-liberals, I can't think of any ultra-liberals that we've got in the party. Around your urban areas, you've got a lot of moderates. But I'd say, by and large, our votes are coming primarily from the conservative vote. And our big increases every year come probably from the conservative element of those undecideds.
You see the two parties realigning then? Republican becoming more conservative or picking up more conservative votes?
Yes.
As it grows?
Yes. I think we definitely will. We're faced with this problem. For years, all the Democrats had to say was, remember the Depression, remember the soup lines. If you put Republicans in, you're going to have a Depression. And with very few people out there arguing the point, and then some of them not being well enough versed to argue the point, we had no counterattack. And there was even that feeling in 64 with many people. Boy, if you vote Republican, the world's going to come to an end. But they did it anyway, and the world didn't come to an end. So it kind of broke a trend. More and more people are willing to vote Republican now. And yet we find that down in the South Georgia area, this same type campaigning of Republicans bring on depressions still works. So what catches us is that you find the conservative rural vote going in voting the straight party ticket, And by the same token, you find the urban blacks voting the straight party tickets. And they'd be considered a liberal element, with the South Georgia farmer voting conservative. And yet they're voting hand in hand, and when they do, they're squeezing the life out of us. And yet there's no tie-in between the two at all. Ideologically, they're as far apart as night and day. But the Democrats have been very, very successful in keeping the black votes strictly voting a straight party ticket. That's the most damaging thing that's on our ballot, by the way, in the state, is the straight party vote. They can pull any kind of shenanigans they like in the state legislature to beat us out. They can have the presidential candidates on top, followed by the straight party vote, or they can put the straight party vote on top, and we don't have enough votes in the legislature to stop it. They decided that they were going to have a hard job winning with Hubert Humphrey. So on your ballot when you went to the polls, because the legislature voted so, the ticket was headed by the U.S. Senator. The names of the president on your ballots was over on the side. If you wanted to vote, for instance, in 72, you had an opportunity to go in and cast your vote for Nixon or McGovern, and then right underneath it you had your straight party ballot. The local Democrats didn't want to be tied in with him. So to vote the straight ticket, you'd vote twice. You'd vote for the president and then the straight ticket. Also, they realized that Nixon would be popular. That would give them an opportunity for people to go in and vote for Nixon and then pull the straight party. As long as that happens, and as long as the work goes on in the black community that does now, we're going to be greatly hurt by the straight party slot. We've had black candidates laugh at us in Fulton County when we would attempt to run black Republicans. One fellow laughed at us and said, "You'll take $3,500 and spend it on one of your black candidates running, and he'll get out and he'll put out all of his literature. You'll see everybody in the world that he can and work hard, and I'll just sit back and wait till the night before the election. Then I'll rent me a truck, put me a PA system in front of it, on top of it, and then have me some handbills printed, and then on election day just go up and down the street with that truck, that PA system going. Don't be misled. Don't let anybody mislead you. Get that ballot, that endorsement sheet from that boy standing there at the drive of the polling place. Vote like it tells you to do." And he laughed. He said, "I'll bet Ken folks to your candidate even came up and picked up that thing and voted for me." He said, "I'll beat you with $550 and you can spend $3,500 anytime you want to." Well, this is true. Blacks have made a lot of progress, and they made a lot of progress by sticking together. Their leaders will tell you, "Sure, we're racist, but we have to be if we're going to get anywhere. And we have to try to train our people to believe in us and vote the way we feel it's best. And if we can't keep them together, then we got nothing to bargain with." So they're able to sell this philosophy, and consequently you'll find that in every one of those places, there's going to be somebody standing there, and they're going to have an endorsement sheet to give every voter. I don't know whether they did it in 72 or not, but in the past, they had a voters league made up of reputable people that the black voters trusted. And the night before the election, a ballot that had been marked with their endorsements was delivered, and people would go to the polls and vote just exactly like that ballot said. usually they'll say, don't take a chance on letting so-and-so get in office. Vote that straight ticket. And that philosophy has continued to work.
You said back in 1960 that the Republicans had a substantial black vote when you first got active. Why do you think they lost it completely, and what do you think would have to happen to get a substantial portion of that back?
The black vote went to the Democrat Party when John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy were smart enough to see that securing the release from Reidsville prison of Martin Luther King Jr. would be their inroads into the black community. And they went to work, and they gained his release. And at that particular time, of course, Nixon as vice president could have been able to do something about himself. He didn't. It was a big political coup for feathering Kennedy's hat. And when they did that, the black vote in that election switched from the Republican to the Democrat side and has remained there ever since. Also, in order to get his election, Kennedy was able to put together the biggest composite, I guess, of minorities ever known. His total appeal was not to the basic working American. He made an appeal to the old as senior citizens. He made a special appeal to the young. He made a special appeal to labor, to the blacks, to every element. He worked and he put them together, and this was what put him in. Because he was able to get elected, and he begun to give recognition to the blacks that they'd never had before. They begun to feel that they were getting somewhere. And the blacks will probably not be back in the Republican ranks until some of the effectiveness of their present-day leaders is just dimmed. King could affect the thinking of 83 to 85% of the blacks in America. No one else has ever had that much control over the blacks. I think back at the time, Roy Wilkins probably could affect the thinking of 56% of the people. That has declined. But since Dr. King's death, there have been a number of warlords. None of them have been able to affect the total thinking. His replacement, Ralph Abernathy, has been totally ineffective compared to Dr. King himself. Now, you're already seeing now that there is a big fight among the blacks over whether Roy Wilkins still wields the big stick or not. And his effectiveness is waning every day. As more and more of the blacks quit following these particular warlords, and as the younger group comes on who have not been used to following the dictates of these leaders, they'll make their own decisions. And as they do, there's a strong possibility that they will start coming back into the Republican fold.
In 1972, did Republicans in Georgia lack adequate campaign financing? Or was that any problem?
Are you speaking of the president's race, or are you speaking of our races here?
Races here, state races, state congressional races, state races, legislative races?
Thompson.
Thompson's race.
No, Fletcher didn't have that big a problem. He ended up with a campaign debt, but it was not astronomical. But the financing was not that difficult, no.
We find in a number of states that Republicans say that the campaign to re-elect a president just took a lot of money out of the state. It could have been used
that could have been put back in to help Senate congressional candidates.
That's possible, but I don't think that we could complain and say that our Georgia Republican candidates were that hurt by the contributions that were made to Crete. Fletcher was able to come out all right, and I'd say that most of our candidates were able to raise the money that was necessary to run their races. I don't know of anybody that was particularly hurt because of the big money going to the president's race. We didn't make that much of a push. Well, the reason is that the way CREEP decided to run their organization was to have an independent organization. They had an independent chairman, an independent organization, totally and completely. They had to raise their money in that manner.
Who was their chairman in Georgia?
Jack Ray. He was a former state treasurer that switched to the Republican Party in 68. When the five Democrats came over and he was defeated for re-election in 70 as state treasurer. In 70. And he was the chairman of that organization. But we ourselves in the state were not primarily interested in raising money for the president. The money that was primarily raised here was raised on campaign dinners.
How about...
We did have one large dinner. We had two large dinners here, but one of them had a lot of people in attendance. And we participated in that one because the state party was to get back a percentage of the proceeds on that particular salute to the president's dinner. And that meant money for us. And if we had money within the state, come to the state party, then that meant that much less that we had to try to solicit from people, and that gave more money for the candidates to get.
How much support did Thompson get from the White House, in effect? Did Agnew come down and campaign for him?
Yes. Yes, Agnew came down and went to Columbus and Augusta.
With Thompson?
Fletcher's brother was the pilot of the American Airlines plane that they had chartered that time.
Why did he miss Atlanta?
We just chose to go to those places because we're stronger in the metropolitan Atlanta area, and besides that, we had the president in here. And we felt that Agnew would be more effective for us in those areas. And that was my choice. Was to have Agnew in Columbus and Augusta.
Has the last year hurt the development of the Republican Party in Georgia?
It hadn't helped.
How's it hurt?
It's hurt the morale. So much of the media covers the anti-Nixon approach. And when you got a party faithful out here that is not receiving anything that can boost his morale, he keeps hearing only the anti-Nixon side. And then when somebody that on the street wants to question him about these things, he has nothing to come back with.
Is it hurting your recruitment candidates?
I think it may have hurt the recruitment of candidates for congressional candidates. I don't think that it has hurt any as far as recruiting candidates on the local level. Because if a man's running for the state Senate or for the state House or county commission,